Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first hymn today was All Glory, Loud, and Honor. Now, I've explained that story before. Does anybody remember part of the story? You know, we do this every year. This is the eighth time we've sung it, and I've explained it every year. Probably a good thing, reason I go over that. Jerry said to me one time, I'm going to use you as a sermon example today. And I said, boy, I keep on saying these again. And Jerry said, but you know, it's been a year. We forget. And you know what? You're right. Okay? And that's part of the thing. But I think it's important that we talk about this hymn for a minute because this is the story. Okay? All Glory, Loud, and Honor is an English translation by the Anglican clergyman John Mason Neal from the Latin Gloria, Laus, et Honor that was written by Theodulf of Orleans in 820. It's a Palm Sunday hymn. And it's based on Jesus' entry in the Colosseum. Now, or not Colosseum, but into Jerusalem. Let me read this to you. Theodulf became the Bishop of Orleans. Now, we're going back to Charlemagne. Okay? And my sermon today is going to detail and work with the idea, does the church and the state have to work together? Do they interfere with each other? And I think the answer was yes then and yes now. But let me explain why. Charlemagne had just put together this huge empire. 800 AD, he was invited to Rome to meet with the Pope. Okay? Now, you got to understand something here. In this part of the world back then, it was the people called the Franks. Remember the Franks or the Franks from school? Okay. Guess who the Franks were? The French, which is where that word comes from, and the Germans. They were the same people. So when the Germans fought the French, it was a civil war. How many of you knew that? You know, when we start looking at a history, you think this is new in Russia and Ukraine? This is 1,200 years ago. We're dealing with the same thing. All right. So Charlemagne goes to Rome. He's letting a huge procession down to St. Peter's Church. And it's old St. Peter's. New St. Peter's wasn't built yet. Pope is waiting out on the steps for him. And he's come, my brother, kneel. And Charlemagne looks around and says, why? He said, kneel. So he did. And he took this ornate crown and put it on his head and crowned him the king of the Holy Roman Empire. That was the start of it. It's the restart of the Roman Empire in a different way, but it's a Christian empire. Did Charlemagne want it? Are you kidding? Who would want to have all this stuff put under him? You know, and if you've ever seen the movie Pippin with Ben Vereen, okay, that's the story of his sons and what they had to do after Charlemagne died. In fact, one of the greatest songs I think ever written was Everything Has a Season, Everything Has a Time, from Ecclesiastes, and that is from Pippin. All right. When Charlemagne died, Louis the Pious became emperor. That was his oldest son. Theodulf was removed from the bishopric and placed under house arrest in a monastery in Angers. Now, during the power struggle following his ascension, he was actually brought back into the city. The castle for the Holy Roman Empire under Charlemagne was in a part of France called Burgundy. You know where Burgundy wine comes from? So if you go into northern France, that's where all this stuff happened. Anyway, Louis was not happy because Theodulf was putting up icons. Okay, in other words, statues and things like this. And Louis would have made a good fundamentalist Christian because he didn't think they should be in the churches, even though it had been approved from the beginning. So he removed Theodulf and threw him into prison. Easy way to get rid of things. Well, anyway, while he was in prison, Theodulf wrote this hymn. Now, the melody we sing the hymn to was written in the 1600s. But it's a wonderful hymn. I mean, as we sang it today, you know, the words still speak to us today, I think. I think it's really good about that. So the procession is going down the main street in the capital city, going to the cathedral. And they heard this voice saying, "All glory, loud and honor to the Redeemer King." And he stops the procession, and they listen to this hymn. So he's got the archbishop, he's got all of the ruling class, they've got all of the clergy, and they're all standing outside of this prison listening to this hymn. Now realize this is 1,200 years ago. And when I look at history and find there is nothing new under the sun. So he does take mercy on Theodulf and puts him back in his position. And so he did declare that this hymn had to be sung thereafter on every Palm Sunday. So every Palm Sunday since I've been a pastor, we sing this hymn. But I think it is one of those things, because originally it had 39 verses. So I think the three verses we have now is enough. Okay. All right. So does the church and the state sometimes get at odds together? Well, sure it does. Okay. One of the things that Luther said in the Two Kingdoms, it's a treatise he wrote on the separation of church and state. And it's based out of what Jesus said, whose likeness is on this coin? Well, Caesar's. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar. Give unto God what is God's. Now, he's making the argument that there are two things that are in existence. His point was, if the state has you do something that it needs, let's say kill somebody, even though one of the commandments says, thou shalt not kill, are you forgiven? Well, yeah, because you're doing it because you're what the state has you do. And I'm talking, looking at a lot of the military guys that were in here. I mean, you had to make that decision. Gene, do me a favor. Move to your left just a little bit. Because, no, your other left. Yeah, move your chair over, because Fran keeps on moving behind you trying to see. Is that better? Okay. Oh, hey, we're in church. We're not supposed to laugh. Okay. But, you know, the other thing that came up was this. What if the government has you do something that is against the word of God? What are you supposed to do? Now, there's the question, isn't it? Okay. Can you refuse? You can. I mean, you can put something in writing while you're not doing it. Probably this destroyed your military career. But at least that's what you can do now. What about in the 1600s? What if you went up to your commanding officer and said, I can't do this? Yeah, find where you want your grave. Well, yeah, you know, and here's a shovel. Get it ready. You know, because that kind of stuff happens. Okay? What was that movie where the actor won the Best Actor Award because he was a Seventh-day Adventist and wanted to serve, but he couldn't shoot somebody. And so he ended up being a corpsman and pulling people out, and he brought, 17 people down? No, not Saving Private Ryan. What is it? Yeah. Hamburger? No. All I can say is Heartbreak Ridge, and that's the one I'm cleaning. Anyway, huh? Hacksaw Ridge. Thank you. You know, so the thing is, there are still ways that you can serve if you really want to. I mean, he's a good American, and he did it, and he got all kinds of hassles. But he had a commanding officer that understood why and supported him and let him serve the way he could. Let's take a look at what's going on today. And you know, right now I'm not happy with both sides of the aisle. On the 4th of July, for the last 8 years, I have preached on the founding fathers of the United States. Were they Christian men or not Christian men? They're very Christian men. In fact, the last one was a witness of nine of the founding fathers, and their witness to Jesus Christ that they wrote down. All right, so if somebody's not a Christian, would they do that? No. So we are a Judeo-Christian nation. Why do I say Judeo-Christian? Why don't I just say Christian? Do we have the Old Testament? We are a Judeo-Christian nation. In fact, a lot of the founding fathers were Jewish. Okay? So the thing is, there's a lot of good people. Look at Muslims. Are there a lot of good Muslims? Think about this for a second. Yes. Now, I've got something to tell you. Do you know that when he came in as a Senator Barack Obama took his oath of office on a Quran. Now, you're going to say, you look it up in Scopes, it's not there. Anyway, I have a friend that was there and saw it. There was a lot of consternation, and they didn't let it out. Is that wrong? No. No, because if you're making a promise on the book that you think is holy, does that make it a binding promise? Yes. Okay? And in this country, we don't force our beliefs on someone else. Huh? Romans 14. So when we start looking at this, we don't force things on people. But now we're going back to the thing, too. What about... Now think about this for a second. If the government wants us to do something we can't stomach. And that may come today. I don't have an answer for that. All I know is that we need to stand up for what we believe. And that time might come where it gets dangerous to do that. What scares me a little bit too. But think about this. Did Jesus go into Jerusalem knowing he was going to be killed? Yes. They're thriving. AAL, before it was thriving, put out this beautiful poster, and it's not available anymore. I've tried to find one. Of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's coming through on the donkey. Okay, in front of him are all these palm leaves. People have made a carpet for him to come in on. The people are dancing in the streets. They're so full of joy. Do you know that a lot of the Psalms are designed to be sung, especially David's, because they were written to be sung dancing on their way to the temple? So is dancing a way to worship? Yes. In fact, I was in a African-American church in Cincinnati when I was there. Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This church, folks, I have never seen this. Their church council had 5 doctorates serving on the council. The president of the congregation, Everett Green, was a captain, United States Navy, commander, SEAL Team 6, okay, was a lawyer. You took a look at these people. You talk about education. This was a highly educated congregation. I walked in. They were using the Lutheran hymnal. Okay, we're all singing the things I grew up with. And I asked, the pastor's name was Everett Green, too. I asked Everett, I said, they're all singing. He says, most of them went to a Concordia University. They're all Lutheran. You know, and I was surprised. And I'll tell you, I had more fun in that church with those people than I did in the church I was assigned to. You know, so when we start looking at things, we're not different. We're all together, and we're all in this together. But when Jesus went in there, he had all of these accolades. Oh, the Savior has come. But the people were looking for a non-religious leader. They wanted somebody to rule the world. And Jesus told him, my kingdom is not of this world. And they couldn't stem that. They were waiting for King David to come back and be in charge of everything. So they could. Well, folks, the Roman Empire at this time was the largest empire still in the history of the earth. And you know when the Roman Empire ended? No. Rome fell in 430, okay? The Eastern Roman Empire, which we know as the Byzantine Empire, but it's actually the Eastern Roman Empire, fell in 1453. It lasted for another 1,000 years. So stop and think, what was going on in Europe 1,000 years ago? We were still in the Dark Ages. They kept the church going and everything going with education, with research, with study for 1,000 years past the time that we have been told that the Roman Empire ended. Do you know where the center of the church was during that 1,000 years besides there? Africa. All right, St. Augustine. Great theologian. In fact, a lot of our Lutheran theology is based on St. Augustine. Realize he was black. In fact, one of the things about him said he was so black it was like you're in midnight. Does that change what your mind can do? No. You know, so when we have a lot of things happening right now, we need to stand together in our common Christian faith. I don't care if somebody looks different from you, if they speak another language, if anything. We are together under the cross of Jesus. And today is the day that starts that. The triumphal entry in Jerusalem. And may this triumphal memory entry keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.